Actually, I'm quite confident that he's going to get his $1 million when he retires.
There are people who have made money, but there are also a lot of people who have lost money. Never invest in something that you do not understand.
I'm Gwen. I am 33 years old. I'm taking a 1 year break from work to take care of my kid and study.
My name is Haider. I'm 29 years old this year, and I've been working in engineering line for 5 years. My annual income is around 35 to 40K. Currently, I'm still staying with my parents, and I have a plan to buy my own property when I turn 35 years old, or if I get married. Every month, I will put aside 20% of my pay to my savings account. And I also contribute 10% or sometimes 20% of my basic to my parents. 50% of my income, I will use it for investment.
For Haider, I think he really understands personal financial planning. He's actually saving quite a bit and he's investing about 50% of his salary. So I think he's actually saving and investing pretty well.
I don't really spend much. So whatever I spend is mostly on my necessities. I set up my own Excel file and it's formulated to my own preference. What do I want to see? How much savings do I have? How much have I invested so far? The returns and the growth so far.
I think Haider can be an example for many young people out there. Proactively, he set up his Excel file and that says a lot. The knowledge and awareness is there in order for him to do proper planning. So that's always a good start.
There's actually this 20%, 30%, 50% rule, which is 20% is our savings, 30% is to our wants, our wishes, and the 50% is actually our necessities. When I started learning about savings and financial literacy, this was the first rule that I looked into and applied.
The 20, 30, 50% rule is quite well known, and it's great that actually Haider follows it. He can do it right now because he's young and he's single. But when he gets older, he might need to actually adjust that percentage because of liabilities and responsibilities that he has to shoulder when he gets married and have children.
I've already stopped saving because I've already done out my emergency fund. 2-3 times my basic salary. Why I decided on 3 months is if I'm being terminated for some unforeseen circumstances, I have 3 months to get a new job.
His monthly expenses is less than half of his income. If he has got 3 months of his salary as emergency fund, he has easily more than 6 months of his monthly expenses as an emergency.
For my insurance, I spend around $155 every month. I did the most basic one, which is health, accident, and also life insurance. But I feel like changing to a term plan insurance because after I've done my calculations, I feel that it's better for me to take term plan and the rest of it, I invest it. Because right now, I want to maximize my investments as much as possible.
I would caution him against terminating the life and to buy a term plan. Depending on how far he is into the life policy, any surrendering, he could be looking at losses instead. Maybe as he goes along his life, he gets married, he has children, he needs added protection. Then yes, he could consider getting on a term, which is cheaper than a life policy because every dollar premium you put into actually goes to your protection.
His view of insurance is definitely correct. I mean, he's young, he's single. Actually, his need for death coverage is low because if he unfortunately passes on today, there aren't many dependents that will depend on his income. But he's definitely right to get hospitalization insurance. That's very important for him. He's definitely right to get accident insurance because he's riding a bike. And term insurance gives him the most coverage at the lowest cost. And with the amount that he saved, he's actually investing it. So I would say all ticks in this area of insurance.
My financial priorities is to grow my money as much as possible. My full-time job is just a platform for me to have my primary cash flow. With this income, I will invest as much as possible. The type of investment right now is mainly on equities, company stocks or ETF.
My encouragement to him is always remember the fundamental principles of investment, diversification, asset allocation and dollar cost averaging. Right, so for diversification, ensure that he diversifies across a pool of instruments. It can be across markets. Dollar cost averaging is something that he's currently practicing because he actually puts aside a fixed amount every month into his investment. So whether the market goes up or goes down, with dollar cost averaging, he stays invested for the longer time. And last but not least, asset allocation. He did mention upfront that he has a longer runway because of his age. So he's actually open to taking on investments with higher risk. Right, that is true, but also not to forget to balance the portfolio across medium risk and low risk. Yes, it may be slightly more tilted towards higher risk investment for now, but as he progresses along in age with more obligations, where he has more dependent, then he will need to make that fine balance. So with these three investment principles that he should stay anchored upon, it will enable him to actually attain his goal of early retirement.
I don't want to top up my CPF for investment. I rather invest it myself because of the liquidity I can withdraw at any point of time in my life.
I know he doesn't seem to like CPF quite a bit, but well, actually, if you look at it, our CPF scheme is like a high yield bond without needing to take the risk of buying into a high yield bond because you are getting about 4-5% guaranteed from the special account, but the risk is so low. It is a AAA government risk. So maybe Haider can consider building the foundation of his retirement by using CPF.
Out of his investment basket, there can be a percentage that goes into a medium risk and a low risk. So if he is planning for retirement, the SA, the special account, is a tool that he should consider as well to diversify. Because all he needs is to periodically just do an automated top-up. Do not underestimate the power of your special account. Allow it to compound the interest at a 4% per annum compounded rate. We have a very simple rule. It's called the rule of 72. What the rule of 72 says is that if you would like to know how many years it takes for your savings to double up, you simply take the number 72 and divide it by the underlying interest. So the CPF special accounts pays 4% per annum. 72 divided by 4 gives you 18 years. So, right, so in 18 years' time, he will be looking at double of his CPF SA balance. And this is not including what he's going to top up from now till then. Yes, at age 55, he would have to set aside either the basic retirement sum or the full retirement sum, depending on whether he owns a property at that age. All that will eventually go into the CPF Life, which is an annuity. Because right now his perspective may be a bit more open to risk, he may feel that the annuity is not so attractive. But with age, his perspective may actually adjust accordingly as well.
I'm looking at around 45 to 50 years old to retire. So my plan A is to have 1 million by retirement. I'm going to park my money at a stock that pays out dividend of around 5%. So with this 5% of 1 million, it's around 50K, so it's around 4K a month.
My caution is that return is not guaranteed. Right, there is also an equal risk that you could lose your capital entirely.
The suggestion I have for him to consider is one of diversification, because right now it seems like he's very concentrated on stocks. He did mention about ETF, which is great, but I do not know how much he put in ETF and how much into stocks. So the thing about stocks is that if you are overly concentrated on single stocks, if that company goes down, and that's the end. But the one thing I think Haider definitely got it right, which is he started young and he understands this magic of compounding, because if he just puts in a bit of money at a very young age, over time when that interest and that return compounds, actually I'm quite confident that he's going to get his $1 million when he retires. So for all those of you out there watching, the magic of compound interest is powerful. Start as early as possible.
I'm Gwen. I am 33 years old and I'm married with a kid, and I'm taking a 1 year break from work to take care of my kid. And I'm pregnant with an unexpected one right now. We recently got our BTO flat, so we are in the midst of renovation. Before we started a family, we already had money set aside for renovation. We already had money set aside for the child. But now I'm in a little bit of trouble because of my unexpected baby. My main concern was that I can't find a job when I need to get a job back.
Well, Gwen, as I hear her story, it's like seeing a mirror of myself. Back then, I was in the banking industry for close to 8 years before I took a step back for family reasons. Initially, I thought it would only be a 6-month sabbatical. But at the end of 6 months, like Gwen, I found myself pregnant again, unable to go back to the workforce. So I can understand the uncertainty that throws.
Prior to stopping work, our annual household income is around 110,000. About 25% will go to personal spending as well as transportation. And then 15% goes to savings. And the rest kind of just goes to like household spending and parents, insurance, my child, things like that. When I quit, that was when we had to cut down on certain things. My parents were very, very kind to say that they are okay to not take allowance until I get a job again. We go out a lot lesser.
She's very sensible, right? Because the minute she lost her job, they begin to eat out lesser. They began to actually spend lesser. So I can hear that, yeah, Gwen is really disciplined in terms of budgeting.
Okay, this is like the most silly thing I do. I actually use my credit card like a debit card. So at the beginning of the month, I actually transfer like the amount of money I allow myself to use into the credit card. So I won't go a bit crazy lah.
Oh, Gwen, actually what she does, I wouldn't call it silly. I think it's a very prudent thing to ensure that she has enough control, because that is exactly how a credit card should be used, as only a mode of payment, which means at the end of the month, you pay off your bill in full, right? Failing to do so would mean rolling over your credit card balances and potentially getting your interest snowballed into a very humongous sum.
I always have emergency funds set aside. Yeah. I know that I need around 1,500 to 2,000 to live decently a month. So that times 6 months, 9 months, I think I still have that amount of money. I hope I don't touch in a long time or ever.
Yes, regardless at what age, one should always strive to maintain a 6 months worth of emergency savings cover. But apart from that, what I always encourage you to do is list out your financial goals. It's always easier for us to work towards a financial goal rather than arbitrarily accumulating a sum of money. And financial goal, it can even be purchasing a car if that's your desire, or it can be saving towards retirement.
My husband and I, we have a joint account. So both of us contribute a certain amount. We took out a bit and put it into stocks. And he's the one who like manages that because I know nothing about it.
It is good that actually the couple, they are very clear about their responsibility. I mean, Gwen is the one that actually does the budgeting, and the husband is the one that actually does the investment. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that usually I would suggest that the couple do this together. You know, life is very uncertain and we don't know what's going to happen. What if one of the couple passes on? And if all the while you have not been involved with the investment, with the planning, you may be lost at that moment on what to do. And also when it comes to investment, each one of them, they have got different risk profile. They have different ability and the willingness to take risks. All is great when you make money, but when the markets become very volatile, and if one party doesn't understand the whole characteristic of investing, that sometimes can cause couples to quarrel. And the last thing we want in a marriage is when finances starts to break the marriage.
My husband, he does cryptocurrency, but with his own money, not without joint account. I am exploring maybe in the near future that I will give him a little bit of our joint account money to do crypto, but I'm still thinking about it.
I find myself even difficult to say that cryptocurrency is an instrument. At this moment, it is really quite speculative. And if you are planning for the serious things, things such as retirement, things such as your children's education, I think we got to ask ourselves really whether we want to use instrument that has not enough evidence to give us that return with certainty. You might want to use instrument that has been proven that over the long term, it will give you that return.
Crypto, unlike stocks, which has an underlying asset to it, underlying asset value to it, crypto doesn't have. So it can even be to the extent, invest what you're prepared to lose. Never invest in something that you do not understand. Products like crypto, like options, right? If it's being pitched to you as very attractive because it brings high returns, do not hesitate to also ask the mechanism, how it actually works. Do not hesitate to also ask what is the downside risk. And once you have full information, you can then make an informed decision.
In terms of retirement planning, I haven't really started. Once I move out, have a life of our own, be actual real adults, I know how much we spend a month. I can start like budgeting exactly how we're going to save up for our retirement.
That's really understandable because a lot of young couples whom they just started in life and they have short-term cash flow consideration. I just want to assure that that's actually quite fine because we have to deal with the now.
Ideal retirement age now. No, but no. I want to like be very optimistic and say like, oh, I want to retire when I'm like 50, but I don't think that's going to happen.
When it comes to retirement planning, of course, it is good to start as soon as possible. But when it is not possible, my suggestion is that you give yourself at least 20 years to plan, right? Because if you don't have that 20 years, it just means that your lifestyle that you want might be out of reach. It will become harder and harder to save towards your desired lifestyle if you don't have the time horizon.
I do the very, very basic fixed deposits. And then I do have savings plan, topping up of the CPF account and all that. Because retirement seems so far away, and I don't know, in like 10 years, the government might change, the policies might change, and I really don't know what's going to happen to all those money that's locked in there. I think that's where I get a bit insecure about CPF because I don't really have control.
Okay, so Gwen is also surfacing a fear that some Singaporeans may have. They are afraid of policy changes that they may not see their CPF monies. But with full assurance, our CPF money is our money. All right, it's not the government's money.
Instead of putting your money into just an insurance endowment plan, that probably gives you about 2-3% actual returns. I'm not talking about projected returns. And you don't get liquidity anyway buying an endowment plan. You might want to consider topping up your CPF. It's 4-5% guaranteed. And it's actually a very good, quote-unquote, instrument to save and invest towards the future.
She mentioned that she looks at $1,500 to $2,000 a month when she retires. But if she's able to put aside the full retirement sum, which presently is about $186,000 at 55, that will be the monthly payout she's looking at when she reaches 65 under the CPF Life Annuity Scheme. And that will be a lifelong payout.
I was pretty worried about not getting a job and all that. But as I stopped working, there were a couple of people who reached out to me to do like freelance jobs and part-time jobs and contract jobs. Yeah, and that kind of gave me a little bit more hope.
For now, you know, she can even explore certain home-based businesses that is possible for her trade. She can explore and just leverage on the skills. Because going back to work may take a little bit of time. After the baby is born, you're looking at a lot of expenses. So this, she will really have to sit down with her husband. They will have to look together. How can they stretch their dollars on the daily necessities? Would that involve more cutting back on their expenses? They will also have to relook at their investments, right? Not to go for higher risk, because now with an extra dependent, they may have to actually curtail their risk capacity as well. Right? They cannot afford to take on more risk to have the risk of losing their capital.
For someone who's like 33-35, emergency money aside, how much savings are we supposed to have at this point in our lives?
But you know, having been a parent myself for more than 2 decades, I know that there will be uncertainties in life. Suddenly a second child appears, not having a job, and we have to deal with real issues, right? So my encouragement to Gwen is that not to be too worried about benchmarking with other people. Even today, if Gwen decides to stay home as a full-time mom and the salary cuts down by half, and even if today they don't have enough savings as compared to their friends next door, and even that continues for the next 10 to 20 years. If they are able to survive and if they are able to bring up their children, I think I would say that they are successful.
2 out of 3 Singaporeans surveyed did not have that 6 months cover.
Honestly, I'm a very lazy budgeter. Or should I say I don't do any budgets.
If you asked me how much I spent on shopping last week, I wouldn't be able to answer you.
You're feeling down and out, you're bad mood, spend it, splurge it, you know, spend on anything that you want.